Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss John Hensley guesting on B&B, Lisa Rinna versus Joe Mascolo on Days, would Bill Bell be rocked by soap message boards today, and could Katie Kirk save General Hospital? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
What up?
Mel, welcome.
Hey.
Well, we got a bit of an interesting headline this last week because TV Guide's Michael Logan went and got some major scoop about General Hospital. If it turns out to be true, it could be a major game changer. He reported that Katie Kirk and Jeff Zucker aren't too happy with Revolution's performance and are very interested in seeing General Hospital stay on the air in the Revolution's time slot. This is what he reported. Sources close to Kirk and our executive producer Jeff Zucker tell TV Guide magazine that the duo has expressed concern about the disappointing ratings of ABC's The Revolution, which, if GH gets the axe, would be the lead-in to Katie when The Talker debuts this fall. Kirk and Zucker want to see GH get that slot because it's a stronger show, Nielsen-wise. Plus, Kirk doesn't want to face the wrath of GH fans and risk the chance they'd organize a boycott. Who the hell needs that? So she and Zucker want the Revolution to go bye-bye. Jillian!
Luke!
What do you think?
Katie ain't stupid. I mean, who wants the Revolution behind them, you know, leading them in or, you know, following that hot mess? I'm pretty sure ABC is not happy with the Revolution right about now. You know, if this is true, and I'm not doubting Logan, Logan is my doll, so I'm not doubting him, but, you know, if this is come true, this is a good thing for soap fans. I would hope that ABC, with the dismal ratings of the Revolution and all that pomp and ceremony they gave for the Revolution, I would hope that they would be like, okay, this is not working, and let's stick a fork in this. I mean, advertisers have said they love soaps because they can advertise the wazoo and make money because of women or the demo that they're going for. Women, men, cat, rat, dog, whatever they're going for versus talk shows. So one would think they would try to keep soaps on the air if advertisers are like, look, we don't care if our talk shows are damn sells. We want soaps in the, you know. So here's hoping that ABC does right. I use that loosely.
Well, and it also gives a little bit of cover for Katie should ABC decide to stick with the Revolution. Mel, what are your thoughts on the story?
I'm pretty similar to Jillian in this story. I feel like it spells good news for GH that the person who's taking the time slot is like, well, I could take that time slot, but I still want GH on the air to be my lead-in, which is good news for us because since this is the last ABC soap left, we needed to stick around. And it's also great that Katie's like, I don't want this Revolution crap on because that's what it is, crap. Get it out of my way. Don't even put it near my time slot.
So bad.
So I'm okay with that. I like that she said that too. And like Jillian said too, it gives her cover if, you know, something forbid would happen to GH. And Katie Kirk would be like, well, I'm sorry. I tried to get it to stay. I don't know what to tell y'all.
There was some other interesting news this last week in the world of General Hospital. Roger Howarth has signed a contract that will be keeping him in Port Charles. I'm very excited about this, unexpectedly, because I'm really enjoying his chemistry with Laura Wright.
Hell yeah!
They are hot.
Yes, they are. It was like, for me, it's like Blair who?
It takes the sting out of, you know, them not going with Sean, because, you know, they were going that route, and then all of a sudden Carly was like, I like you, but not like that, and then just gets up on Johnny again. It was like, what? I was a little blown by that. I was like, what the hell? So it takes the sting out of that because Todd, Roger, and Laura Wright have insane chemistry together. I'm sorry. This is like my soap girl, fangirl moment here because I, you know, as a kid, you know, when, you know, before they did those, before those, as a child, before they did those, what happens if Sonny met Erica?
Oh,
BS.
Lord.
Before that BS, as a kid, I always used to think, what would happen if Sonny, met Todd? How would that go down? You know what I mean? So this is like, I'm like, oh my God, I love it. Love it to bits.
What I find interesting about it is while the character of Carly has had other love interests, say Johnny, say Sean, et cetera, most of them have come and gone, but Sonny has always been the consistent in Carly's life. To me, having Todd in town could basically wipe away all those other people. And I mean, she had Jax, and Jax was good, but he was sort of good in a 40-year marriage husband type way. Todd seems to me at least the first viable love interest that could completely wipe the slate clean of our memories of Carly and Sonny. Mel, what are your thoughts on this pairing? Or possible pairing, I should
I
say.
like it. I like it a lot,
Yes.
Roger Haworth and Laura Wright's chemistry is literally off the charts. My television bursts into flames, and they haven't even started looking like the, tinges of a relationship yet. Nothing's happening. They just talking and looking at each other. And I love every second of it, and it would be fun to see because, Carly and Blair are kind of starting this little budding relationship. Oh, we toasting to each other. Oh, but what's gonna happen when Todd try to get off at Carly? Oh, it's gonna be good. I'm ready for this.
One of the things for me is that I've always preferred Victor Todd with Taya. And Blair and Todd, I respect their history, but I wasn't as enchanted with their reunion on One Life to Live as some other folks were. And so for me, this holds infinite possibilities. Plus, it might mean that we would get to see Cassie DePaiva pop up. I mean, at this point, Roger's on contract. We'll see what ends up happening with Cassie down the road. If this is just a limited run for her, if something major happens, it means that we could, with Todd or Star, we could still see Cassie popping up. And I always love seeing Cassie. Jillian, what are your thoughts this week on Star's developing relationship with Port Charles, shall we say, and how that's progressing?
Look, I've said it on Twitter. You have these GH so-called loyalists. Oh my God, they're eating the show. The hell you say? They are, to me, I think that they've woven in the Manning family perfectly because of the mob. Someone lost a kid. Someone lost their whole family. You are finally seeing all these people that want Sonny to get their hand, his hand smacked, for Anthony to finally get his hand smacked. You are seeing the mob finally get some sort of repercussion for their foolishness. Even though we know Sonny didn't do it, we all have an idea who crazy self did it. I'm not saying anything else. I don't give you, We are all seeing the repercussions of the mob. So I'm glad for it. I like Star being, coming into her own with this show. I like the fact that, she's sticking to her gun. She is her father's child. When Blair was like, "You can't be this angry at that Sonny character," and she's like, "I don't care. I have the right to be angry." I'm like, "Hello, Blair." I'm like, "You lucky it wasn't me in that bed."
I was gonna say, how many times did she throw Taya through windows?
I'm saying, I'm like, she has the right to be pissed. Her whole life, her family was taken away from her. And Blair talking about, "You need to shake it off." I was like, Blair, you lucky she does not snap and slap you with a bedpan, girl. I love it. I like that they're weaving her in. I can see how some fans are mad that it isn't about Robin, because I was too. I'm not gonna front. I'm like, Robin is the heart and soul of that show. It should be more about Robin, but you're weaving that in there, so I like it. So whatever.
Mel, what are your thoughts on it?
I like the.
And specifically address your thoughts on her chemistry or lack thereof with Michael.
I don't mind it. I don't see, it's not like where it's a burning chemistry, I would say, as with Carly and Todd, but they do have chemistry. Like, I don't know, it's better than that Cole, the new Cole, but I digress. Anyways, I do like the way that they brought Star in, you know, with the accident and in the mob, because it makes you want to see the mob get it.
Exactly.
Especially Anthony Zakara, that cartoon character thing that needs to go back in the pages of the book. They did a good job of bringing her into the fold and then keeping her there and making everyone else care about Star, I feel like, because they killed her baby too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you're going to be like, oh, that's that girl. Even if you like you don't know who she is, oh, that's the girl that killed her baby. That's a shame. So it makes sense why she's so hysterical and she's crying everywhere. So I like the way they did that. I was already, you know, we're One Life to Live fans, so I already cared. But
I mean, the exposition,
I give it thumbs up.
The exposition with, you know, her background and everything, they just wove everything in there. You didn't have them, you know, taking weeks to explain who this gal is for people.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. You got it. So I'm down with that. You got it with all of them.
Let's talk a little bit about Robin's death and the fallout that continues to rock Port Charles. Robert found out that he may have lost a daughter but gained a son thanks to Luke. And Patrick and Elizabeth told the little Emma about mommy not coming back. Jillian, what are your thoughts on how the Scorpio storyline is playing out?
Okay, now, again, people have seen me tweet about this on there. I was not happy with the hospital staff just acting like, yeah, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood after Robin got scorched, like, you know, like some, she was made into Cajun.
Filet mignon.
No, like she was made into Cajun chicken. I was like, damn. I do understand where some fans are upset that Robert is not going to be there for the funeral, because under Guza's regime, he made Robert this deadbeat dad that didn't give two flags about Robin. I understand that. You would think that they would try, you know, even though Robert, that was a total, you know, that was a total injustice and rewriting of his history. You would think that Robert now, even though he failed her in life for 15 years, in death, he would be there for her funeral. I get that. I totally understand that. I totally agree with that. I actually support that, because it's like, damn, you weren't there for her, you know, when she was, you know, facing some of the most difficult things in her life. You could at least be there for they put her 6 feet in the ground. However, this is where me and some GH fans part ways. I don't agree with them saying that Robert is dissing her for a new family. In my mind, I'm looking at it from Robert's point of view. He's saying to himself, and he said on camera, look, in so many words, he said, look, I failed her in life by not being there. I can't, you know, I can honor her memory by not failing her brother. And he's not choosing another family. He's choosing to go after another family member. He knows. Everybody knows. If Robin was alive, if she was in an oxygen tank right now, she could scribble out some words. She would tell Robert, go find my brother. And Robert would probably, you know, hem and haw, but she would insist upon him looking for her quote-unquote brother. I mean, if you know Holly's history, you know Holly's a damn liar. I mean, she wasn't a cold-blooded person like Guza wrote her the last time she came on to the last few times she came on to the show. That was a total Miss Gross, you know, use of character. Everybody knows that, you know, Holly is a liar. So for Robert to think that this kid is his, it's not out of character for him. It's really not out of character for him. He knows that Holly is a hustler, and Holly's gonna go with someone, you know, who has the bigger checkbook. That's sort of in her character's wheelhouse. So I don't feel that, you know, Robert is choosing one family over the other. Everybody has to realize that Helena does not have a time clock. You know, in Robert's mind, and if you really do believe that Robert is the father of this boy, everybody knows Helena does not have, you know, even though Helena does have manners, Helena really doesn't. And when I say that, I mean Helena is not going to say, oh, well, he's burying this child, so let me leave this boy alone until he bury this one, and then we could go and do our thing. Helena's going to be like, whatever, whatever, whatever's clever, Trevor, I'm out of here. So I don't feel anything wrong with that. I get where fans are upset that Robert didn't stay for the funeral, but I don't feel as though that Robert is choosing another family over over Robin. You know, Luke did a selfless act. He tried to give his friend a reason to live. I mean, for God's sake, you know, Robert was going to 86 himself because he failed Robin. So Luke gave him a reason to live. Luke wasn't thinking, oh, I gotta wait until after the funeral and then say something. Robert wasn't even trying to go to the funeral. So I'm pretty cool with it, but I get some GH fans, you know, outraged with it.
Mel?
First off, I thought the scenes between Robert and Luke were so powerful. Bravo to Anthony Geary. I can't say anything else about them. If you haven't watched them, please go back and watch them. But listen to Jillian talk about it. It kind of puts everything more in perspective for me, because y'all know I'm a newer GH fan. I don't know anything about Guza painting Robert as this deadbeat dad, because the way it played out on screen to me was, you know, Robert, he was this, you know, really great, awesome dad, but, you know, he wasn't around because obviously Robin was raised by Uncle Mac. So that's kind of the way it came off to me, and he just missed his daughter so much he couldn't handle it. So he tried to off himself, which actually does happen in real life. So that was something that I could see happening. But, you know, Luke's like, well, Ethan is your son. And I like Holly. Don't get me wrong. I do. She was on screen for 20 seconds. I was like, oh, I like her. But obviously, I can tell right away that this woman could talk her way out of a firing squad. So I was like, y'all lying. It's all going to come back to bite you in the butt, because Helena took that sample of people's hair. And you know she's going to find out the truth. So it's all going to backfire later down the road. But
Go ahead. I was going to give you a little crash course in Robert and Anna and Robert 101 for you, since you didn't know. Okay. Faison blew up Robert and Anna, so in 91. So that's how Mac took over to raising her.
Okay.
You know, Faison is this, you know, Faison was an ex spy that just who was obsessed with Anna, with her mother. Anna didn't even give him the time of day. He was just obsessed with her, and he hated the fact that Robert got her, so he always tried to, like, brush them up when he came on the scene, and it wasn't happening, so he blew them up. Everybody all thought that they were dead, but then GH brought on Faison, and then you started thinking, well, maybe Anna's alive. Then on All My Children, they brought back Fanola. They brought Fanola on there and had her come back as surviving the accident. But the way they wrote it was she lost her memory. So she didn't realize that she had a daughter and everything going on there. On GH, though, this is where a lot of fans, including myself, get mad at Guza. Guza wrote it as to Robert, you know, coming to and everything, and he was given the option to do this stuff. See, it's so confusing. It's so stupid.
Uh-huh.
He was given the option to, like, serve his country and still keep an eye on his family, and Robert chose the latter, and fans were like, that's bull, because, you know, if you know the history of Robert Scorpio, Robert would have never done that to Robin, because he loved Robin to death. Robin was his whole world. And he was in, like, look, some fans will be like, but Holly was his love. Whatever. The last time we saw, if you go by history, the last time you saw Robert, Robert was married to Anna. So Robert was in love and was crazy about Anna. Robert willingly would not leave Anna twisting out in the wind with no memory without telling her who he was and going to get his kid. So that's why a lot of fans are pissed. And when Holly was last seen, she was seen like in 91 on GH. She was helping Mac raise Robin. So that's why a lot of fans were pissed that, you know, that whole monkey flu thing went down a few years ago. That's why a whole bunch of fans were pissed that she had the antidote and wouldn't give it up. She was selling it. That's why a whole lot of fans were pissed at Guza, and rightly so, because he just totally was like, screw history, I'm gonna do what I want to do. But right. I think he pulled a Riley on some folks. But whatever.
And then she came back to reveal for momentarily that Luke was the father.
Right, you know, so it's BS.
Let's talk about a little bit more BS. What do you guys define as a great storyline? Would the woman in white qualify? Not for me, but apparently it does for Nathan Parsons, who told Soap Opera Digest that Ethan finally gets a girlfriend and she's killed. When I first started talking about leaving, I had always been in the it had always been in the back of my mind that my contract was coming up. Then I found out that Garen Wolf was going to be asked to step down. It was frustrating because he was the first person who wrote a great story for this character. It was supposed to continue for months. And they were going, and they had her on a potential 5-year contract.
Boy, bye.
I don't know what's more terrifying about that statement. The fact that he called it a great storyline, or the fact that it was supposed to continue for months, Mel.
It's time to get Southern. Bless his heart. Just bless that baby's heart, because that's all I can say, because he legitimately thought The Woman in White was a good story. But let me tell you, what's
not just good, great.
It was a great story. But let me tell you what really just sent me almost into convulsions. That girl was supposed to be a possible 5-year contract. What? I cannot. I literally cannot. So just bless that baby Nathan Parsons' heart. I hope he is very successful.
Jillian?
Okay, look at here, Nathan Parsons. I understand that you want a storyline. I mean, everyone will, you know, they will be like, look, pair me with, you know, dig Lila up and pair me with her and I can have a storyline. I get that.
That's so wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. People pitch crazy storylines. Hell, you see Nancy Leapy all day on Twitter pitching storylines. I think she needs to stay off that mug, but whatever.
That's why she only be on 3 days a month.
I digress. However, that Woman in White storyline in the precarious state that GH was in under Garen Wolf's months of terror, no sir, no ma'am. You need to sit it on down and take a nap. A 5-year contract? I was talking about this with Jamie and I was like, I have never heard anybody getting a 5-year. And he's like, sure, back in the day. I'm like, let me rephrase. I haven't heard anybody in these recent years get a 5-year contract. The standard thing in the game is 3 years. Back in the day, 5 years, I'd give him that. Nobody gives out a 5-year contract anymore.
The last time I heard of that was, didn't Ricky Paul Golden get a 5-year contract at All My Children?
I don't know.
I think.
I don't know. But I'm like, the storyline was deplorable. And then when the boy said, oh, and Garen Wolf had to step down, that's when I left. I'm like, you, sir, are somebody I would never take to Atlantic City. I would certainly bet on the house if you're playing some blackjack or something, because your instincts suck. Your instincts suck. And a lot of people are mad, you know, that, you know, some people got a little mad. I saw on Twitter, they were like, Ron didn't give him a storyline. And I like the fact that Ron answered someone back and was like, look, he ain't said, this is, I'm saying it. This is how I'm saying it. I ain't say Ron say it this way. This is how I'm saying it. Someone was mad about, you know, Nathan not getting a storyline. He was like, look at here. I left. I came on and that boy left before I came on. So I'm like, exactly. How is that his fault that Nathan decided to bet on the wrong horse?
Because that was back in, what, November or December when that was announced? Yes. That he was heading out or something?
Exactly. So how is that his fault? And we don't know. We already know these shows write themselves, you know, a little. GH doesn't write themselves too much in advance, but they write themselves in advance nonetheless. So that's Nathan's bad. You bet on the wrong horse with that homie. That Woman in White storyline sucked. That was supposed to be on for months? Child, please, no. We don't have time for that BS. don't.
That was one time where Helena being a killer didn't bother me at all.
She did not. I was like, shoot her again. I was like, shoot her in her head. Shoot her all. I was like, you need
target practice.
You need to call Sonny and his minions and Anthony Zakara and just use her as a test.
Where's Max and Milo when you need them?
Use her as a test dummy because it was too. That storyline was ridiculous. I get that. And they were trying to do Wuthering Heights, but sometimes you need to stop biting from people and do your own stuff. That was just ridiculous.
It should be called Wuthering Lows.
It was just
Mel, I know that you don't watch B&B, but former As the World Turns star John Hensley is going to be popping up. Will that, combined with the fact that Hope is using Hillary B. Smith as a psychiatrist, get you to tune in?
By holding... Oh, I got so excited to see that he was... You know, find a work somewhere else. I mean, we'll see how it impacts the B&B. I was
landscape.
Yep, landscape. I would have said campus, but that was wrong. Maybe if it was him, but it's his wife too, who used to play Iberly on the show, that would get me interested. But nevertheless, I watched an episode or two of Bold and Beautiful, what, 2 weeks ago or so. So I don't know. I'm going to try for Jillian, only for Jillian, because well, that's how much I love her. I'll try to watch it this week.
There you go. Jillian, this week was actually not half bad. We finally, there were fireworks that went off as Liam and Hope were making love, but unfortunately she didn't particularly care for his sparkler.
Fireworks went off for him, but not for her. She was like,
oh, man, no, I should have watched the show this week. Okay,
What did you think of how that ended up, and then the fact that she's feeling so guilty about it all, she's now in therapy.
Child Hope is like, I could have had a V8 instead of doing this mess. I just had me dying. Look, I've said before that I've liked this storyline because of the reason why Hope does not want to have sex is because of how she was brought into this world and because of who her mother is. I think that is awesome.
Who she basically called a hoochie this week.
And we all know Taylor ain't no saint her damn self.
No, but I mean, this last week afterwards when they were talking about it, she basically was like, I didn't want to be the type of woman who slept with a married man. And it's like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, oh, if that's not a slam against Brooke,
I'm saying
I don't
that's
get it.
Why I love the storyline because, you know, you have a reason behind it. Unlike on Y&R, you had Chance just a virgin for no reason. I'm like, I don't know any boy who's going off to the war to serve his country who gonna still hold his V card proud. They're gonna be like, I'm gonna lose this. If I'm looking death in the face, let me lose some of this. So I like the fact that they're playing upon that, and I like the fact that Hope still has some hang-ups on it. And Brad revealed that there's going to be some good story. The outcome of this is going to be, if they play it right, it's going to be really good. In his interview with Logan, he gave a little sneak peek on what we're going to see. To me, I like it. It sounds really, really good. You know, I like the fact where this is headed. It sounds really good.
My favorite part of Soaps this last week, though, was Phyllis Diller's reprising her role as Gladys Pope and marrying Stephanie and Eric. Those scenes and the soundtrack that went with them had me rolling. What'd you think, Jillian?
I mean, to me, it's a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to Mustang Sally. Oh, Miss Must Sally. Because that was Sally's road, dog. So, Miss Sally, rest in peace, Darlene O'Connelly. I mean, it's about time Eric and Stephanie get it together now. I really do need for Soaps now, all of them. B&B, Y&R, GH, and Days. When a couple, you know, when you have, like, a senior couple, a patriarch and a matriarch of the show, I really need for you guys to, like, make them stay together. This whole making up and breaking up crap, and you know, when you're looking at, you know, your twilight years, it's just ridiculous now. Cut it out.
If I see Donna set foot in that house, I'm going to be pissed.
I doubt it. You know, she ain't got nobody to pair her with now that Jack Wagner's, you know, out of the way. What they going to do, pair her with Justin
Lemon
again?
Bars?
No, don't do that. With Justin again, I mean, they just need to keep them together now. Just leave them alone now. Just leave them alone.
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Lisa Rinna made a I don't think I want to use the word triumphant return to Days of Our Lives, but she made a return nonetheless, which happened to coincide with probably the most publicity the show has gotten since the Days 2.0 campaign, when she basically agreed that Joe Mascolo was the worst actor in Days of Our Lives. To which he responded by saying that Lisa saying that Taylor, who's from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, should have her lips reduced, and calling me the worst actor on Days is sort of like calling the pot calling the kettles black. Jillian?
Joe Mascolo said, "Don't be playing with me, shawty. That was awesome." You know, when I saw it, you know, Jamie and I had a debate about that. He thinks that Andy Cohen cajoled her a little bit. But I'm like, I've seen that game. The game is called Plead the Fifth. You have an opportunity to plead the fifth. To me, Lisa Rinna tried to act like Big Bad Hank. You know, she tried to act like Billy Badass. And Joe Mascolo let her know, look, who you playing like a sucker? And I loved it. I loved it to bits. Honestly, I think, you know, this is a good publicity thing for Days, because me being the businesswoman that I am, I would personally, if I was in that PR department, I would be like, okay, how, you know, when Joe answered her, when she said that about Joe Mascolo, I would have been like, okay, how are we going to play this up? And I would be going to all the networks, you know, because Lisa still got a little juice. I mean, when she make headways of coming back to Days. So I would be like, you know, uh-oh, is there drama on the set of Days of Our Lives? And we don't mean, and I would name whatever storyline is happening right now to let people know what storyline is happening right now, you know, and I would toss in a little old school Days for people who haven't been watching so they could catch on. And I would play what Lisa Rinna said, and then I would be, you know, as soon as Joe Mascolo answered back, I would play what he said. I would play that up to the hilt, because this is the best PR they've got in a long time. But at the same time, it's like, girl, you know you're going to work with Joe Mascolo. Why would you even go there? Child, I would hate to walk up on that set. I really would.
Well, not only that, but he's majorly popular with fans, and
he's not a bad actor!
He's not a bad actor. Mel, what are your thoughts on the always interesting Lisa Rinna?
Oh, Lisa Rinna. Lisa. The way you come back to your former soap is not to insult one of your fellow veteran actors. That was my complete thought on the whole situation. And then insulting one that's not even bad. Like, when I watched Days of Our Lives, I liked stuff. I thought he was a good actor. So I don't understand why would you pick, you know, Joe Mascolo to insult out of all people.
When there's so many others
on Days of Our Lives.
I'm like, Charity, you threw him under the bus over Charity Raymer. I'm like, are you insane, Lisa? I was like, girl, please. You trying to be funny and you ended up getting got, because those soap fans went bananas on her. Bananas.
Joe Mascolo also looks like somebody you don't want to mess with.
I'm saying it.
To touch that man, just a hi, how you doing, sir? I'm glad you had a great day. Goodbye. You don't look like anybody you want to mess with. So she picked him. Come on now. Oh, Lisa. Maybe she'll learn. Maybe. We'll never know.
Jillian Lucas is back in town. He was back in town for a couple days. As of yet, we hadn't seen his reunion with Will. That will be happening this next week. But his stuff with Sammy was fantastic. Isn't it great having him back?
I'm glad that Brian Dottillo is back. He is like, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield of soaps. I get no respect. Like, they do, they just, he's just, ooh, something, they always just do him wrong on there. But this last time, he admitted that I acted the fool, so that's why I got to go. That's why I got the heave-ho. I'm glad that Lucas is back. You know, Will is going to need his father right about now. He's going through a tough time with coming out and his mom being a hot mess. So it's good. You know, I always liked Lucas and Sammy being friends. I never got their romance. You know, I've always been down with their friendship because they, you know, all the, you know, a lot of people are like comparing and contrasting all the things that EJ's done to Sammy and vice versa. I'm like, Lucas almost let her fry on death row. So Like, how you could come back from that, how can you be like, ooh, I love him, girl, is a mystery to me with that. I've always enjoyed their friendship, and I've always enjoyed their banter, you know. So I'm glad that they're back, and I'm glad that Lucas is trying to talk some sense into Sammy. So.
And nothing gets Kate into a dander more than the percep her perception that Sammy's possibly going to reunite with her son, which
Exactly.
could potentially play to wonderful, wonderful things. Not so wonderful this last week was the attack on Beau. He ended up in the hospital in a coma. And let's not talk about Roman. Beau's in a hospital with a coma. Jillian, what did you think?
Mean, this is par for the course. Fancy face. And her man having some peril, and then he rallies. I hope Bo don't lose his memory. I really hope they don't go that route because I will just be too through. I hate when that happens. Oh God, I'm just so through with the losing the memory crap. I'm enjoying Days. You know, I didn't think I would enjoy the Alamania storyline, but I'm starting to really like it.
Have you noticed that the ceilings in these houses in Alamania are really tall because the eyebrows are arching so
Oh
much?
my God, what is with
Oh,
you and
you
like
have a toddler.
the interior and exterior? I'm not even going there with you,
Is
sir.
everything still purple?
No, it's blue. It's actually nice.
Child, I'm enjoying Days. I really didn't think I would like the Alamania storyline, but I am. I'm just hoping that they don't keep the Princess Gina thing. I've never been a fan of that jive. Ugh.
Well, and the other thing about Days of Our Lives this last week, I like Brady and Madison together, but I'm not liking Ian on the show.
Oh, I'm liking Ian. You step up. Well,
He's just, it, to me, it's just like he's involved with Kate. He's revealing Sammy's subterfuge. He's messing with Brady. Victor doesn't necessarily want to get rid of him or can't get rid of him. It's just like, okay, all of a sudden we have a person who's all of a sudden manipulating Victor. It
I
just.
mean, Stefano, he used to work for Stefano, so that's what's so wrong about that. I mean, you can't always have. The show would be one note if you always have Victor Kiriakis always winning or always dominating someone. You need to change it up. And I like the fact that he's rivaling Victor, and Victor's like, damn, you know, I can't get rid of this cat. You can't always have the same players in there. You need to change. You need to mix it up in the sandbox a little. I like it. I like the fact that he's blowing everybody up. Just blowing up everyone's spot. I enjoy it. You can't always have Stefano going after Victor. You can't always have that, you know, as the blueprint to a storyline. You need to mix it up some. You need some new blood in there. I like it. I like Ian. He sure as hell can't come back to GH because I saw his character die twice. I
That's
saw
nothing. How
die
many times
twice.
has Elena died?
I saw Duke Lavery die on screen, and then they brought him back with a new face and a new voice, and I was not happy about that as a kid, and I saw him die again. You cannot bring him back again. No, sir. And that's why, you know, and the Helena always dying thing, I think she's just such a cartoon. She needs to negotiate a deal with Disney with that, the way how they do her, but Ian is good on Days.
Let's talk a little bit about Y&R this last week.
Do we have to?
And I'm through.
In an interview, Maria Rena Bell said, in referring to Y&R's creator, William Bell, she goes, "Bill was so focused and so believed in his vision, I think even he would be rocked by the message boards." Mel,
Girl, bye.
what are your thoughts on Maria Rena Bell's take on this?
Number one, I feel like if William J. Bell was still writing the show, it wouldn't be in the shape it's in right now. And there wouldn't be so much, I don't want to dislike, disdain for the show on the message boards. But I feel like no matter what you do, people are always going to say something bad about it. I mean, they talked about Jesus. But I feel like Bill Bell, he wouldn't let the message boards get to you so much. Like, you can read them and you know, kind of take in what they say, but you don't have to do that because it's his show. It's your show. You're going to do what you want to do, regardless of what the message boards say. And Bill Bell had such a great vision for the show. I don't think he would let the message boards kind of cloud his vision. Like Maria.
Well, I was going to say, Bell, she has no vision.
She need a vision board to get a vision.
I just, you know, it's ridiculous, and I don't like the way that she's like, oh, I'm going to compare myself to, you know, William Bell. You're not even in the same universe as him. So I don't understand.
I mean, when Bill Bell was around, God bless his soul, when Bill Bell Sr. was around, there were message boards. I'm pretty sure he was aware of them, number one. And number two, message boards replaced fan mail. So I can only imagine when he had some of the, because you know he had a handful of turkeys in
his
day.
Yeah, I'm not saying he was all.
No,
good.
I don't mean you, honey. I mean Miss Maria. Down it down now. I'm pretty sure he got his share of. I can't believe you have that man in white face with that storyline, and I can't believe you got some man called Kong. Come on now, buck up, Maria. Instead of you take, I find it fascinating that. She says she doesn't pay attention to the message boards, but then she does. Mm-hmm. You know, the time you take to be, oh, they're so hurtful. You should, I don't know, listen to what they're saying and change the show around. And, you know, I'm sick and damn tired of her using this whole Bill Bell. You know, she uses that as a pass so people don't attack her enough. You need to stop using that as a pass and stop comparing yourself to him and try to live by his model of writing a good story. The reason why I give her a lot of hell, because a lot of people are like, you're so hard on her. The reason why, you know, I'm fair, I'm equal opportunity. That gets you on all turns. The reason why I'm hard on Maria is because she has, it, including herself, that show has three. You hear me count them, three head writers. And you can't get it together? You have three head writers. There's no excuse for that. You like to say that you know the history of this show and you are, you know, you studied at Bill Bell's feet. If you know, if you've studied at his feet, then you would not do some of the storylines that he is doing. You will admit defeat because Bill Bell has admitted some of the storylines that he did was craptacular. He's admitted I shouldn't have killed off Philip Chancellor the second. And I shouldn't have had Drusilla and Malcolm and that cough medicine crap. He's admitted when he's done wrong. She refuses to admit when she does wrong. And
let's face it, she isn't fit to shine his shoes.
Exactly. Stop comparing you. People get mad when you compare yourself to him and you're doing wrong by his show. He's admitted that he's had turkeys. She refuses to admit it. I mean, if you're going to continue to insist upon having Daisy on there, you need to recast her because this girl is not believable in this role. If you are going to have your version of a Sheila Carter, you would recast that role right away because there ain't no way in hell Lauren Fenmore would be scared of this girl. The Lauren Fenmore that we've grown up with would not be scared of this girl. I know over time people change and they mellow out many years and blase squaze, but no, Lauren being afraid of this girl compared
She has a phobia of a little girl. That is ridiculous.
Compared to, like, the things that Lauren has dealt with Sheila in the past and other people in the past, this girl and her foolishness would not scare Lauren. And the same with Phyllis. We've seen Phyllis best the best of them. And you mean to tell me this girl's outsmarting Phyllis? Phyllis Newman, that's why I cannot condone the foolishness on this show. I give credit when credit's due. I loved when everybody was out for Jabot and Ashley came back and they had that big meeting inside of Genoa City, the GCAC club. And, you know, Jill was like, I'm going to have Kane as the CEO. And Billy was like, please, I'm not going to be CEO. And Ashley came in and was like, I'm the CEO. That was brilliant. This foolishness with this girl is ridiculous. How much times are we going to see, you know, a man on that show get date raped and have a kid? This is the second time she's done this in the span of 6 months. Daniel was date raped and had a kid. This girl, Chelsea, date raped Billy and she's having his kid. I mean, what message are you sending out there? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Let's talk about Maria's greatest achievement, because this week she was front and center. Mel, Daisy, apparently has legal aid, tons of money, and can get more done than, as someone pointed out on the in the comments on the blog, than Michael Ken with a law degree.
I'm saying
What'd you think?
it's just the most contrived nonsense on this show. So Daisy gets out of jail and she gets this ridiculously nice apartment with all of furnishings, and she has, supplies to take care of her baby and her. And this is what I don't understand. She's living across the hall from Michael and Lauren. Michael is a lawyer with a lawyer's salary. Lauren owns a department store, which people like to forget on this show, but I don't. Lauren owns a department store. They are living
Chain, a department
in
store chain.
chain, you're right, chain of department stores. Look at this nice apartment they living in. And you want to tell me Daisy has enough money because what's her
She
name?
inherited it.
Sarah, Susie, whoever, that thing, Smythe, left her money. Where does Sarah get all this money from? It's things that just don't make any sense. I don't understand. And then there's Lauren, who is afraid. She has built up to a phobia of Daisy, of a child. When Lauren took on Sheila, mother freaking Carter. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. It just makes me want to hide in the corner.
I
I don't
smell
understand.
another whodunit coming along. I just smell it. I feel it with Lauren taking, running around with that gun and
Scared.
everything. Daniel fighting this girl for custody. Phyllis getting mad at this girl. I just feel we'll have another whodunit foolishness storyline.
And the scary thing about it is, with a whodunit on YNR, it doesn't really mean that the person's going to be dead.
And with YNR, it's going to take a year to figure out who's done it. And we don't have time for this mess. I mean, Look, I'm going to need for Maria Bell to stop this whole comparing herself to Bill Bell mess. I'm going to need for Ma Bell and Brad and Cricket to band together and say to Bill Jr., look at here, you need to stop payment on Maria's reality check because that thing is about to bounce with this foolishness that she going on with. Because it's ridiculous. This Daisy thing, they need to wrap it up. Like, she needs to be hit like four times by a bus and then blown up.
And Ricky needs to be on the bus as it's on
Oh
its way
my
out of town.
God.
Ricky, I mean, I get that he can be a little sociopath because of who his mother
That's
is.
what they're trying to do, and it's not working.
I get it, but it's a little, you don't feel anything for Ricky. He just, Ricky realizes that, when Ricky first came on the show, I got that he felt as though Heather was the preferred child with Paul because, we all know Paul is a love 'em and leave 'em type with them kids. I get that he thought, Heather was the chosen one. But after he realized that Heather wasn't and realized, oh, Paul's just a sad son of a bitch, you would think that they would try to work on that somehow, but him just exploiting everyone in the family and going after this one and that one because of his childhood it's a little bit too much. It just needs to stop. I'm tired of these kids. My daddy didn't love me. Mess.
Well, someone who has two daddies to love him is Devon.
God in
Child.
heaven. All
Okay.
earth.
Now, I will point out they did appear, and it wasn't the first or the 15th. What's your thoughts, Mel?
But it was still a minstrel show, complete with song and dance.
Ah!
That harmony jumped out there. Ooh, this is my jam. I'm about to kill him right now. But I know you can't
Oh.
do it, nothing. I know Neil. Girl, what you mean I can't dance? Girl, let me show you a little thing or two. This is the most ridiculousness. And then we got Tucker on the side to make it look like it's not really is what it really is. Now, Harmony, I know your tricks. I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to get near. I can't.
Hold up. But see, that's the part that had me like continuity police. Woo! I'm like, how you know her tricks? And he said, I remember
Don't
your
remember.
tricks. I said, but you don't remember her. I said, how you remember her tricks? But you said you don't remember her. I'm like, hello, who writing this mess? I, you know what? I already see they're gonna do this whole Harmony Neil, Yo Harmony Neil, Tucker storyline.
See, I didn't actually mind her and Neil. The chemistry of the two actors is actually pretty good, but the storyline is lacking.
They need to. This. I'm just tired of Chris. What's his face? Getting a diamond in the rough type of chick. You know, I'm like, y'all are. You know, they are dead set trying to find their next Drusilla. Stop doing that. Either bring her back or just stop trying to make new Drusilla. Like, cut it out.
You know what would have been the hot storyline there, though?
I'm scared.
It would have been Neil, Tucker, and Ashley. Because Neil and Ashley have always thought had chemistry. And it would be so hot to see.
They didn't do it enough.
They didn't follow through on it. It was like they teased on it. They sort of teased on it, touched on it, maybe felt it up a little, but they didn't go in for the kill.
Oh my God, Luke, what did you do last night? Oh my God. Oh my God. That was funny. That was funny. That was wow. I thought that was hot. That's funny. I mean, to me, I think they're going for round two with Tucker versus Neil by having Yo Harmony thrown in the mix. And you know what? I'm not mad at this because I like the fact that they're going to, you know, Harmony and, you know, Tucker going after Harmony. I don't mind it because Eileen Davidson, you know, she is going to murder it. Her and Debbie Morgan are going to tear it up. If they play it right, they are going to be gangbusters. It's going to be faboosh. I love it.
My favorite part this last week on YNR was Ashley versus Jill. I'm sorry, but you get those two in a room fighting, going toe-to-toe over a corporate storyline, and I do not like Kane. I'm on the record as not caring one bit for Kane. I wish Kane was gone, but I do have to admit, it was a little bit humorous when he had them make peace, sort of. What did you guys think of Jill versus Ashley this week?
I mean, that's old school. That's how they always were. I mean, Jill versus Ashley, that's like from the moment she stepped into John's orbit, she was like, Ashley was like, you ain't getting none of my daddy. So that's always been, they're playing on history with that. I just don't like the fact that, you know, Kane is just once again being rewarded for bad behavior. I'm like, good Lord. Like, I would have, you know, I get that. They've just done away with so many things. You would think that Ashley and Jill would be fighting over Billy taking his rightful place at Jumbo because that was always Billy's thing. Now all of a sudden it's not even in his realm.
Oh no, he's more interesting at Restless Style.
I don't even know why they call that magazine Restless Style. If they, you know, you might as well just call it Restless. Just drop the style off of it and call it Restless.
I was going to say, there's no style involved.
No, it's always about busting somebody. Like,
tabloid.
And Adam might well be their perennial cover boy.
Adam is the new Eric Braden of Restless Style. Because he sells some covers. I'm like, you might as well just drop
You have to wonder at the national circulation of a magazine whose only stories are about people in one city.
Well, hell, I mean,
it's not like they're in Hollywood or New York. I mean, you can see that.
You're thinking too much because if you're going to do that, then you might as well go there about the Sun when Todd always busts someone in the Sun and his circulations are skyrocketed. So I'm not even going to go there with that. You're just thinking too much.
Well, but tabloids are something that people will read. Restless
but it's
style.
A local, Matt, but it's, you know, about, you said tabloids are what people care about, but you just discredited what you're saying. Todd always went after one core of people. Now, you know, that's the same thing with Restless Style. It's either Sharon, Victor, or Adam. Over at the Sun, it was always the Buchanans or John McBain. So, you know, that's irrelevant at this point. I mean, they might as well just drop the Restless off of that. I just don't, you know. I don't know. I thought Kane was happy being a bar back, but he wants to be a corporate mogul. This is all plot-driven, you know. This is all to get back at Jenora. Blah, 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 blah.
Mel, didn't you love Lily? and Lily's little sit down with Sophia.
I don't know. It went by so quickly on my screen. I don't know what happened. So I suggest it was something like, "Oh, Lily, this is so great," but I could see her crying in the middle of the thing. I think Neil is trying to get with your harmony and blah blah blah. I don't. Y'all know how I feel about Lily, or don't rather.
I can't wait to see Yo Harmony versus Sophia. I'm sorry.
Debbie Morgan gonna kill her.
Oh, she's gonna clean her block. That's why, no matter, I don't even care if they write it for Sophia to win. I'm sorry, but Debbie Morgan is going to eat that girl's lunch. That's not even a fair fight. I'm waiting for Debbie Morgan and Eileen Davidson, because that is going
Ooh,
to
that's
be
gonna be good.
gangbusters. You know what Eileen get when she gets into a scene? She starts to yell at it. She get hot, like you feel that Eileen is really pissed. So I cannot wait. And the same thing with Debbie. When Debbie is in like in the zone with a scene, you just feel it. So I cannot wait. Oh, they just need to rush this other BS. And you know, if you're gonna ship Sophia, I mean, we can see the writing on the wall. They gonna ship Sophia out of town. I don't know anything, so before y'all send anything to me, I don't know anything. But come on now, the writing's on the wall. We all know how this gonna go. Sophia and Neil gonna break up, and then she gonna take that little baby and run out of town. Who cares? I'm just waiting for just rush it so I can see Debbie and Eileen go head up, because that is going to be bananas. I cannot wait for that. Cannot wait. And I also see that they're gonna do the whole Nikki versus Jenora thing. I mean, I'm like, you can see it! You can see it! You can see it! She's sniffing on Victor doing that dance. I'm like, God, the fangirl and Maria came out. Oh my God, I'm gonna have Laura and Victor. Oh my God, I can see her doing that. I can just see it. You have them sniffing around each other. You know, you have a sniffing around Victor, then you have a sniffing around Victoria. You know, Nikki is really in this mood where she don't give two shakes about Victor because of his mess has set these things into motion with Victoria and Jack. She's really not caring about Victor's, you know, personal life right about now. The money shot is going to be when, you know, she see Janora causing all this strife in people's life. I cannot wait to see those two go head up. Now that's gonna be interesting. I mean, you know, I know Mel has a little doubts about Jeannie, but Jeannie's a badass actress, so I cannot wait to see how they're gonna do this Nikki versus Laura thing, because that's all this is. I cannot wait to see how this plays out.
I do like how they're playing around with Nikki and Jack, though.
Oh, yes, that is
That's
good.
good too.
This is the money shot right here. Now, this is where I can get down. Well, see, years ago, you know, Deep Soap Sarah Babel wrote how when she was a writer at YNR, they were going to do a redux of Victor, Nikki, Ashley, and Jack. They were going to do a redux of that. But Lynn Marie, who was the head writer and the executive producer at the time, was like, no, I want to do something different. And she went with Phyllis and Nick and Sharon and Jack. Now, I am so the I will I'm glad that Maria's like, no, let's go back to doing, you know, Ashley, Victor, Nikki, and Jack. I'm so glad she's going back to doing that. Well, not well, in this time, we, you know, we have, I think, yeah, we have Ashley out of the orbit. We're gonna have a Victor, Nikki, Jack type of triangle, because that is where the fireworks is going to be. Victor is too engrossed in getting restless. Hear me, see? Calling the rest stop. Victor is too engrossed in getting beauty and nature and doesn't want to take any responsibility for his actions by unleashing Patty onto this world, that Jack doesn't even have to steal Nikki away from him. Victor's foolishness and his shenanigans are causing him to lose everything around him. He lost beauty and nature because of his shenanigans. He lost Victoria because of his shenanigans. And he's losing the woman of the love of his life because of his shenanigans. And Jack don't even have to lift a finger. That's what I'm loving. I'm loving this. Loving this. Victor's, you know, for everybody who says that Victor isn't getting his comeuppance, I think slowly but surely that Victor is getting his comeuppance because he's losing everything around him. accept that company. I mean, that's, you know, that's always been a spot for Eric Brayton. He said it, you know, he's always said it publicly that Victor cannot lose, you know, his power, blah, blah, blah. But Victor is losing in a sense. He's lost his family. He only has Nick around. And, you know, that changes with the wind when it comes with Nick and Victor. Let Victor look at Sharon sideways. Nick will be out of there again. Victor is going to lose his lady love. He's lost his daughter. I love it. 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 So I'm really excited for this.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Deuces!